welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear from the commander of Minnesota's 1st Brigade Red Bulls about their upcoming training mission and get an update from the commander's task force. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
More than 13,000 men and women serve in the Minnesota National Guard. But of that number, only about 2,000 serve full-time, leaving the remaining 11,000 in need of civilian employers. In the month of August, we would like to recognize all the great companies who employ our soldiers and airmen. Your support, sacrifice, and accommodation to our National Guard mission and training schedules has not gone unnoticed. Employer support allows our service members to remain focused on our important missions without worrying about how they will support themselves when they return home. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, I want to thank all of our military employers for their support, especially those who participate in our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon initiative.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Colonel Timothy Kemp serves as the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division, located in Bloomington, Minnesota. He's responsible for the planning and execution of training, equipping, and preparing units and personnel in accordance with the Department of the Army. Colonel Kemp, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for having me back to represent all the soldiers and families of 1st 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team.
Sir, we're glad to have you on the show, and we want to talk a little bit about a training mission that you're going out to Fort Irwin in California to the National Training Center. But before we do that, it seems like you and I visit every couple of years, and every couple of years, like most officers, you move up into a new position, and now you're the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of our Red Bulls. And how many years have you served now, sir?
I've served now 23 years total in my military career, and I've been blessed to work with some great Americans and soldiers, and I'm still doing that right now with all the Red Bull Viking soldiers of the 1st 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team. Been in command now for a little over 2 years, so I've been really enjoying the last couple of years and working with this team and preparing them for what we have ahead of us here.
Sir, could you explain to our listeners the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team? Could you tell us a little bit about the capabilities and troops and equipment?
Yeah, the Armored Brigade Combat Team, the 1st 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team, is made up of thousands of soldiers and thousands of pieces of equipment and platforms. You know, we have armor, as in tanks and Bradleys and wheeled vehicles that are part of our sustainment element that allow us and give us the capabilities to special capabilities that the Army requires. We're one of only a few, five in the National Guard, that Armored Brigade Combat Teams, and one of the few brigades in the overall Army that can say that Armored Brigade Combat Teams are structured the way we are. So in Minnesota, we house our soldiers in every community throughout the state, which is very, very special thing about the National Guard and what we're able to do. Is to support all of our communities and our 37 armories throughout the state. And then we're headquartered here in Bloomington, Minnesota, but that's definitely not the heartbeat. The heartbeat is out in the communities where our soldiers all reside, work, and then their employers and families allow them to serve in order to assist our nation in defending ourselves and here in the state, as we did just a couple weeks ago.
And, sir, we've been at this radio show for about 10 years, and as we watch these progressions, it looks like you go through a series of rotations, a series of training missions, and it all leads up to the National Training Center. Last year you were at the XETC, which was Exportable Combat Training Exercises, and now all of a sudden you're back up to the National Training Center. Is my understanding correct, is that kind of the top of the training rotation for Guard units?
It is, and not only for the Guard units that go out to the National Training Center, or on the infantry side is the JRTC down at Fort Polk, Louisiana. It is a premier training for all of Army Brigade Combat Teams, and it's the U.S. Forces Command commander, the four-star that heads up U.S. Forces Command. It's his way of validating that his Brigade Combat Teams are ready, proficient, and ready and prepared to forward deploy to do what he needs them to do according to his global strategic threat analysis and what our country needs from our military to include our Guard. So it's going to be a challenging exercise to send the whole entire brigade out there, all of our equipment, all of our personnel, and simulate as though we're moving into a foreign nation where we're there to support that foreign nation to defend itself and then also the interests of the United States somewhere else. And the National Training Center does that better than any other event that I've ever had in my military career, having previous rotations there, that you definitely get a sense of what it will be like in that role and understand what you need to do to improve yourself and your unit.
We're speaking with Colonel Tim Kemp on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, my briefing papers say the NTC is the only U.S. Army training facility that allows a full brigade combat team to conduct force-on-force maneuver, live-fire attack, live-fire defense, giving training units the opportunity to integrate all mission command systems and warfighting functions to include direct air support coordination with the United States Air Force. This is the real deal, and the sounds like the peak of the training available in the United States, sir.
It's Armed Brigade Combat Team, when it gets out to its doctrinal distances and what we're made and built to do, the terrain that it covers is, you know, anywhere from 37 kilometers from left to right and 73 kilometers deep from north to south, let's say. And so in order to do that, National Training Center is the only place to really get out there and really exercise all of our leaders at every level, whether it's the company, a battalion, and myself at the brigade, myself and my sergeant major, on how to handle and maneuver and sustain and support an element that size moving at a high rate of speed with a near-peer enemy that's role-played by other U.S. soldiers that call themselves the Op 4 or the 11 ACR Black Horse that train. And they are the Army's premier opposing force that will challenge us like no other to make sure that we are ready and we learn and we're better people and better leaders when we leave.
And, Colonel, this is a big logistics exercise as well. We were talking to General Cruz a few weeks ago, and he told us, and we saw pictures of, seems like miles and miles of train cars that were being loaded with your equipment. You've got a lot of equipment and a lot of soldiers to get to halfway across the country, and so you can go out in the Mojave Desert and get to this exercise.
Yeah, one of the important things to know about the National Training Center or any event that's like this is the training's already started from the time that we began to develop our overall logistics plan for our personnel and equipment and preparing that. That was 6 months ago the planning started, and then execution to build all of our readiness at our personnel and our equipment level to make sure all the equipment's ready to go, our tanks and Bradleys and wheeled vehicles were ready to go on rail, started 3-4 months ago. And then the movement there is, you know, it's we're not only moving from Minnesota, but we're 19 other states are providing soldiers and enablers that help support us. We need all of them to be able to support this large Armored Brigade Combat Team and all of its logistical needs. So the staff has already been basically being validated and trained as we prepare, even before we get there.
So, sir, as part of that training, of course, is the logistics, getting the equipment and the soldiers out there. But the minute you're out there on the ground, then you've got to get that staged equipment ready to go in a very short period of time in order to get on with the mission.
Yeah, that's the next step. Next phase is it's called our staging. Well, we have to do our staging once we get to NTC, and it's a simulation of arriving into a host nation outside of the U.S. border. And be able to build combat power and then move out into where we need to be, you know, in 72, 96 hours. So everybody closes rapidly coming in from air and then ground and rail, and we have to get on our equipment, prepare it, build our combat power, and then move out of our staging area and begin to operate right away. So the stress is there right away for all of our soldiers. But they're ready and prepared. We've done this last year at our XCTC, which you and I talked about before, did some of the very same preparations and rehearsal for this. So pretty excited to see, based on how well we already performed last year and what we've learned, how the rest of the brigade will be able to perform when we hit the ground.
As usual, sir, training, and the better you can do that, the easier it's going to be to deploy your soldiers and your equipment out at the NTC. Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little more about the National Training Center and what's coming up in 2021. We're speaking with Colonel Tim Kemp, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Colonel Tim Kemp, who is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, which is part of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. And, Colonel, we've been talking about the fact that you're at the tip of the training rotation. You're going to go out to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California. And you and your soldiers and your equipment are going to go out in the Mojave Desert and mix it up with a big Army unit for a couple of weeks out there. And this is really... must be one of the most exciting training missions you can have in the United States.
It's a critical training exercise, and what it's part of the overall strategy of U.S. Forces Command to utilize the National Training Center, which is their training event, in order to validate us for our mobilization. Like we were talking about earlier, you can't get out to the level and the extent and the distances that we need to do to in order to evaluate our battalion command teams and their staffs, and then the brigade command team and our staff anywhere else at any mob station. So it's very, very exciting. We're going to learn a ton. We're going to see things like be supported by F-16s and other elements that will be live there to support us, and a very realistic combat scenario. So that'll be exciting, and it'll also be very, very important to us, because we'll come out of this, and we're hoping to have everybody validated at both the battalion and brigade level. And then at mob station, we can just focus at having strong company proficient teams and retraining them where necessary based on how we do here at NTC, and then move into country and do our mission early next year for our deployment.
Well, Colonel, we talked about the logistics of moving all that equipment and the soldiers halfway across the country, and General Cruz told us that if that was all one train, it'd be maybe a 9-mile train of equipment. That's a lot of equipment. And when you get out there, you've gone to your reception and your staging and onward movement. And can you tell us, once you get there and once you get everybody organized, it says that here that you have 10 days of realistic force-on-force training. There's things like mock villages and displaced persons and all kinds of things that you might encounter on a real mission. And, of course, is the Army unit you're going to be up against, is this kind of their turf, their territory, sir?
Oh, definitely, yeah. This is they do this 12 to 13 times a year. They conduct these type of exercises opposing different brigades, both Armored Brigade Combat Teams, Striker Brigade Combat Teams, and others. So they're very familiar with that terrain. They're very familiar with how normal U.S. brigades fight, and so they're prepared for those things and rehearsed. And then in the box, once we roll into our maneuver training and in opposing them, it's a very realistic scenario where we're helping defend a partner nation of ours against an attacking enemy. And it's what they call, and in our terms, it's free play, as in that living, breathing enemy can, along with his air power and his artillery, can do what he chooses to do and what he decides to do to accomplish his mission. And it's our job to figure out how he's going to do, what he's trying to do, and to counter that. And, you know, we come up with our own plan, develop our own plan, and that whole area there at NTC is our battle zone. It is all built for that, to include, like you mentioned, the mount sites, we call it, but the built-up areas in the cities. If necessary, if the enemy decides to use the city and we have to try to remove them from that, then we'll have to go into the city and conduct our operations in the city or in the mountains and in the basins and the valleys of the desert that's just south of Death Valley. So very challenging terrain, very challenging enemy, and very, very realistic.
Well, Colonel, I hope you keep them on their heels the whole time and they have to react to you instead of the other way around. And I know
that's the whole idea, Tom. That's the whole objective.
I know, sir, that the last time that we sent the Minnesota National Guard out to NTC, they had a great training mission. So all the best to you and your troops out there, sir. Are there any big challenges other than what we've already talked about out there? It's going to be, you're out in the Mojave Desert. It's going to be hot. It's not going to be a picnic, is it?
No, it's something that my main concern, and we've shared that throughout our leadership, all the way down to our soldiers, that, you know, there's things that we have to do to prepare to get out there. And one of them is, you know, Minnesotans going out to the Mojave Desert to, and the heat injuries in preparation for that. So, we put some things in place and asked the soldiers to do some things to help prepare themselves for that. And, also just the normal accidental injuries that happen out at NTC when we're all maneuvering with this type of equipment that we have. So, very, very solid NCO leadership and company grade and field grade officers that have been addressing that and have operated safely. That's my key thing and objective that we need to do. And then, you know, there's other things right now that we have to work through relative to COVID-19 and the virus. So we put in place very, very stringent and very, very detailed and resourced regiment here to prepare the soldiers to build what we call health bubbles before we get out to NTC by unit. So soldiers will show up at Camp Ripley. They have already talked to their leadership for 14 days prior to make sure that they're healthy and everything's going well at home. Show up, be tested for the virus at Camp Ripley, and then those healthy soldiers could then move out to NTC. And once we get to NTC, everybody by doctrine, when you're tactical, you're distanced from each other. And then we'll have our health bubbles by platoon and company as we go out there. We've got about 2 to 3 times the health providers that are coming out to NTC than normally support a normal rotation, to help support the soldiers if a soldier does all of a sudden have symptoms, to address that immediately, isolate and then test that soldier and then do our contact tracing to keep that at a very low level and then continue to operate as we go forward. So I feel very comfortable with the amount of medical support and the support we've got, not only from the division in the state, but all the way up to the Secretary of the Army, Chief of Staff of the Army, that have been involved in this plan and resourcing it. He actually went out and walked the ground and rehearsed all the procedures on the ground at NTC. So that's really helped me feel more comfortable about where we're going and with the support that we have. So a very detailed regiment, and it's fully resourced for all of us and for all of my soldiers. So I appreciate all the support for our soldiers out at NTC. They'll also have an option on the way home. The soldiers will be given screening before they return home and testing before they return home to make sure that they're healthy, prepared to return back to their communities, their families, and their employers.
Sir, I understand this NTC rotation will serve as a capstone validation event in preparation for a deployment to the Middle East in 2021. You get to the top of the training rotation and prove yourself, and your reward is you get to go get deployed, sir.
Roger, and that's really what this is all about. You know, the whole train-up, like you discussed previously, we had a brigade warfighter, and then we went to XCTC last year. We did a leadership training program, which is another staff simulation training exercise in January. Then the NTC rotation, it's not a culminating event. It's a capstone event that prepares us and validates us for our deployment. So the real end state is to go on the deployment at a very high level of proficiency, high readiness, to be able to accomplish our mission. And right now we're slated to go over to the Middle East and support Army Central Command in that theater.
Sir, we just got a couple of minutes left, but just in the last week or so, we sent off 700 soldiers from the 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Regiment, and they were up at Camp Ripley for a couple of weeks to make sure everybody was safe from COVID. Some of our favorite people were up there burning some steaks to say goodbye. I'll bet that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was a great capstone to their training that they did up at Camp Ripley. So they were up there doing an annual training in preparation to go to their mobilization station, and they tested before they started their annual training. And then the Serving Our Troops organization is unbelievable. They do all this out of their own pocket and out of their own heart. And once again, they overachieved with, in this environment, not only serving all the troops there at Camp Ripley, but to have to coordinate across the state for steaks to be provided to the families back at home who could all enjoy a steak along with them. And Colonel Chip Rankin and his team, the Bayonets, are prepared for their mission in the Horn of Africa. They have been trained over multiple years focused on this mission, and they're ready. So I feel very good about what they'll be able to accomplish in the support that they need to over there in Africa.
And, sir, we'll have Colonel Rankin on the show within the next couple of weeks. And, Colonel, we just got a few seconds left, but I'm sure that your troops are well aware that the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is here and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation is here serving our troops. There's a lot of support for your soldiers and their families back here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't think that there's another state with organizations like we have here in Minnesota to support the Minnesota National Guard. And, you know, Tom and your team and with MMFF and all these other Yellow Ribbon communities and employers, it's phenomenal support. It's great to be able to, and then this is part of it, Tom, to be able to be on the radio today to thank them and to share some information with our families as we continue to try to accomplish our missions. You know, you have a soldier sending information, but there's 20, 30, 40 people and organizations that support every one of those soldiers that allows them to show up for their mission and to do what they do for their state and for their country. So I think all the families, all the extended families and the employers out there for allowing us to have your soldier that you support in so many ways that makes them capable and very, very successful. I think we're a unique organization in the Minnesota National Guard and the 1st 34th Armed Brigade Combat Team. And our strategic advantage is our people, and they all come from our communities and our families.
Colonel, thanks for joining us today, and the best of luck out in the NTC, and we hope to hear from you when you return and before you go on your next deployment. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tom.
That was Colonel Tim Kemp, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the chair of the Commander's Task Force, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As we near the 4th of July, I'm reminded of the 24-note bugle call, also known as TAPS. Our current version was likely created during the Civil War by Union General Daniel Adams Butterfield. He decided the French lights out music was too formal for the daily end of day signal. He hummed a version to an aide, who transcribed it to music. General Butterfield then directed the brigade bugler, Oliver Norton, to play the notes, and he made further adjustments to the length of each note. This new call was then played at the end of each day, instead of the regulation call. Word spread, and other buglers adopted the same call. It was even adopted by Confederate buglers. This music was made the official Army bugle call shortly after the war ended, but was not given the name TAPS until 1874. TAPS Out is now played at all military burial and memorial services to accompany the lowering of the flag and to symbolize Lights Out command at day's end.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota Commander's Task Force is comprised of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations. As the elected leaders of these respective organizations, they meet regularly to discuss the many issues affecting veterans and their families here in Minnesota. The chair of the Commander's Task Force for 2019-2020 is a Marine, Todd Kemery, who is also vice president at the Paralyzed Veterans of America Minnesota chapter, and he joins us now. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of your interview today.
Todd, I'm thinking back. We did a show up at Federal Premium last fall, and at that same day, all the commanders of the Commander's Task Force were in a conference room, and they were trying to decide who's going to be the chair for those meetings for the next year. And I don't know what you did, but they decided on a Marine, and you ended up on top of that thing. You want to admit now? How'd you get that done? Were you carrying that day?
Well, it probably cost me close to $1,000. But no, I'm in jest. Actually, you know, we all have a chance to be able to participate in that, and I think part of the legislative history that I've had, and also with the Commander's Task Force previously, was helpful in getting me into the spot as chair. So I appreciated that move on the other commanders voting, and this year has been a wild year, I got to tell you, legislative wise.
Well, Todd, I want to talk a little bit about the mission of the Commander's Task Force. From my observations over the years, it looks like an opportunity for all those veteran service organizations to get together, coordinate their activities, maybe talk through some legislative initiatives that are important in the coming year, and then marshal all their forces, all their membership, to try to get behind some of the things you need to do during the year. And somebody's got to lead the charge. This year was you.
Absolutely, and I think we did a great job at with the tools that we had and some of the interruptions that we had. We did a good job this year, and it actually, Tom, it continues. The fight continues even now past the special session, so we can talk about that.
Well, Todd, I'm sure nobody anticipated a worldwide pandemic. The COVID-19 hit, and of course it's hit Minnesota as hard as anywhere. And it's caused a lot of disruption up at the Capitol. One of the things we like to do is have that Veterans Day on the Hill, and you were on the show, and we had to do it virtually this year because we couldn't go over to the Capitol. And then, of course, the legislators were busy with battling the COVID. So can you give us an update? What happened to the priorities, the veterans' issues that you were trying to work on this year?
So, yeah, there was a huge, there was about a four-week gap there where everybody was trying to figure out a new norm as far as having meetings. So that's where Zoom and WebEx and some of these other teleconferencing tools came into play. So once we established that, then we started back up again and focusing on some of the legislative issues. And that included getting in contact with our legislators through teleconferencing. So, and everybody started to get their... started to get their groove on, so to speak. And, we've gotten some things, the beginnings of things accomplished.
We're speaking with Todd Kemery, the chair of this year's Commander's Task Force, on Minnesota Military Radio. Todd, they had an upside-down session. Did they pass anything? And I know they had another special session, and they weren't able to get much done there. Is everything still pending?
I'm sorry, Tom. Of the three phases, that there was the bonding bill that they needed to take care of, there was the COVID refinancing and financing issues, and then, of course, lately with the terrible tragedy with George Floyd and the whole social upheaval, that was an interference also as far as getting some of the changes that they wanted done. So ultimately, nothing was passed. So we're in a situation where nothing's been passed.
So we've had kind of a lost year due to a number of things that nobody could have anticipated. Is there any chance that I understand that they might be called back in, but they have to reach some agreement on some things? My guess is we've got a lost year here, and you have to start all over again for next year.
Tom, that might be the case, but there are some encouraging happenings behind the scene. The governor has reached out to the Commander's Task Force, and he would like to have a roundtable within the next week or so. The Big Four, or the Senate Majority and Minority Leaders, as well as the House Majority and Minority Leaders, they've reached out, and we've reached out to them, and it seems they're agreeable to having meetings with the Commander's Task Force. So we're hoping, and our plan is to work right through the summertime, and we'd like to be able to get some things done through these teleconference meetings before September. So stay tuned, more to come.
So Marines never give up. You're still fighting and hoping for the best this year.
Absolutely.
All right, Todd, is there information on the legislative priorities somewhere online that our listeners could look at?
So we've had some discussions. Right now, our number one priority is the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. And if you go to the MDVA, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, you can find information on that. More importantly, and if you go to your organizational leaders and like the VFW and the Legionnaire newspaper that's put out, that also is a good resource to go to. Tim Engstrom, the director of communications for the Minnesota Legionnaire, he's been one that has been volunteering his time to keep everybody up to date on the rapid moving legislative issues that are happening even as we speak. So that's a good resource. And then, of course, you can get in contact with me as the chair, and I can update people and send them to the right area. But those are three good primary resources to go to.
So, Todd, any idea when the governor will call the legislature back in session, or are you going to find that stuff out in the next week or so?
I think once we've had that meeting with the governor, but what's being talked about here, and I don't think I'm revealing any secrets, is that the governor won't do anything until the Senate is able to, not guarantee, but to be able to say that, yeah, if we come back, then we'll make sure that we don't go home without doing anything. So I think the governor wants to have that happen. It sounds like the House and the Senate side, they need to come back and do something. Otherwise, it is a voting year, and people are pretty upset, so including us veterans. So I'm hopeful that there will be a part two of the special session. And so it remains to be seen.
Well, I hope they get that done because it's a bonding year and they need to get a bill passed. And I'm sure all sides are working on it and trying to get something done. Todd, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Todd Kemmery from the Commander's Task Force. And he's also the Vice President of Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota chapter. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Todd Kemmery, who is the 2019-2020 chair of the Commander's Task Force. And he's also a longtime vice president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota chapter. And Todd, we've been talking about a year that you've been chair of the CTF, and it's been a tough year. A lot of things happened that we wouldn't have imagined. But I want to come to the Paralyzed Veterans of America, COVID-19. How's it treating all your membership? Are you having a tougher time than the rest of us, or how's it going?
So we've had to be a little more careful. We're considered a vulnerable population just due to side effects of what spinal cord injury does, and also for spinal cord disorders. But we've been keeping track of our membership. We've made calls, the board members and myself, we've made calls to our membership just to make sure that they're doing okay, if there's any special needs, and just checking on that, because a lot of us have actually stayed indoors for the 90% of the last couple of months. So we'd like to keep track of that, and we have been. So, we're in good health, and we're also in good hands with the Spinal Cord Injury Center.
Now, have you been able to get into your office? The VA Medical Center has been on a kind of semi-lockdown for a while. I understand they're loosening up.
It has been, but they've allowed us to come in, and we've kept that to a minimal. So every once a week on Fridays, to sign checks and do whatever paperwork that we need to do through the office, there's a couple of us that come in and take care of that Monday or Friday morning till Friday noontime. So if somebody needs to reach us, those are the office hours currently is Fridays from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m.
But you're doing buddy checks and keeping track of everybody, and so far so good.
Absolutely.
Todd, I know you've got some events coming up. There's usually a fishing event up north, and there's some hunting things in the fall. What are you thinking? Are you going to be able to get some of those in?
So we're working with Wisconsin and Iowa to continue with our Ely fishing program that we started last year. So that's still being we're still taking applications and talking to people about sending people up there. So we expect to be able to accomplish that. And then later in July we have a trap shoot happening up at Brainerd. And we'll be up there for 3 days having a fun shoot is what we call it. So more information on that you can find on Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota, .org on our website. So we'll be happy to entertain any questions about those two events.
How about later in the fall? Is there still some hunting events up at Camp Ripley?
We're following that pretty closely. Right now, there hasn't been any, everybody's in that wait mode, and we're also in the wait mode to see if they're going to have this special hunt up there this year. No word yet on if that's going to happen or not. We're hopeful, but we'll see.
Well, Todd, we're all hoping that we get a treatment or a vaccine sooner rather than later, and it's really important for your members and all the DAV members to get outside and get in some of that fishing and hunting. So we're hoping and praying that you'll be able to get to some of those events this year.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. Yes.
Todd, just got a couple minutes left. You stepped up to a big job here, chair of the Commander's Task Force, comprised of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations, and to coordinate their membership to help them figure out the legislative priorities and to talk to all of those commanders. Been a big job. How's it gone? What are your takeaways from this year?
So I haven't done it all by myself. We've had help from the legislative, Ben Johnson and Cole Trace from MDVA, but all 9 commanders have worked collaboratively and together on pushing forward veterans' needs up at St. Paul. So I've been very proud of what we've been doing, what we plan on doing. We're not taking a break for summer. We're working straight through the summertime. We need to get some of these bills passed before September. So we're still elbow deep in working on these different legislative issues that need to be tackled. So but overall, I think it's been a great experience for me, and I certainly do appreciate all the help that I've got from everybody. It isn't just one person. So thank you, Tom.
Todd, for some reason, when we're talking about the legislature and you, I just want to say something like, Marine, take that hill.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom.
I know you're not going to give up, and appreciate all the hard work you've done this year. And one last question. If you had a, sure, a chance, would you do it again?
Absolutely. This is something I enjoy, so I would do it hands down all over again, given the chance.
Very good. I thought you'd say that. That's another answer from a Marine. Todd, always good to talk to you. Say hi to Ken Klein for me, and hope you can get all your events in and give her a heck over there. Let's get some work done up at the Capitol.
We'll let you know, Tom. We'd like to have you participate in some of that stuff, but thank you very much. I certainly do appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today, Todd.
All right, then.
This is Todd Kemmery, chair of this year's Commander's Task Force on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Maria Weatherall, who is the Ramsey County Veteran Service Officer, and she is part of an organization called the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And each member of that association is a veteran, and they pledged to fulfill President Abraham Lincoln's promise to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan by serving and honoring our men and women who are America's veterans. Maria, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
How are all our veterans over in Ramsey County doing?
Well, I think that the challenges of the present day are known by all, and we have done our best to adapt our service model to respond to the needs of the veterans living in Ramsey County and their families, and respond to the needs that kind of arose out of the current crisis, but also to continue providing service in the areas of expertise that we have, which is, of course, accessing veterans' benefits that people earn by serving in the United States military, and those that are offered by the Veterans Administration and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and all of our great partners here in the communities of Ramsey County.
Now, Maria, have you been able to go to the office, or are you doing everything remotely?
Well, fortunately for us, Ramsey does identify veteran services along with all of human services as essential workers. And so I have been coming into the office the entire time. Many of my staff are working remotely, but there are a few of them that are working staggered schedules in our offices just to ensure that those essential tasks, mail delivery and mailing out and receiving faxes and communicating with our partners here in the building, all of that gets done. So We've done a little bit of both, and we're very, very fortunate to have the support of our leadership in finding really effective ways to continue serving people.
Now, Maria, unfortunately, a lot of our veterans are getting older, and some of them aren't in really great shape. And I'm sure they're for the most part, staying home because they don't want to expose themselves to the COVID-19. Are you getting a lot more phone calls? Are you able to do anything like Zoom or team meetings, those type of things?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question because I was just actually writing some remarks. We are in a budget cycle, and I will be meeting with the county manager tomorrow and asked to talk about how we're serving the people's needs. And we have done everything we can to actually adapt how we serve by phone, certainly via written correspondence for people that need forms, et cetera, and don't have access to email or fax. And we have implemented use of Teams and Zoom for those that have that option available to them. It's been really helpful. But I was just commenting in my remarks how we, myself and my staff, really miss meeting with veterans in person here at the office and in their homes. And we're going to look forward to returning to that as soon as we are able. In the meanwhile, we'll just do everything we can to serve people as effectively as possible, using the tools that technology provides. I mean, that's been a great boon. I think we have a web-based system that we use, and we have great relationships with the Veterans Administration and Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and they've implemented strategies along with the service organizations to try and make it easier for us to continue to do business and advocate. Those people, those vulnerable people that you mentioned, though, the elderly, certainly those that are disabled, we continue to want to find ways that we can be available to those people and to serve them. We have a strong focus here in Ramsey County on serving the homeless, and we were fortunate that right as this all started to happen.
Maria, I'm glad to hear that you're working hard for our veterans in Ramsey County, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
That was Maria Weatherall, the Veterans Service Officer for Ramsey County. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Tim Kemp, Todd Kemmery, Maria Weatherall, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week when we talk about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and get an update on the work supporting our Minnesota military families. That's coming up next weekend on this station or anytime online, anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We'll be right back.